We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Singular. In Acts 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul told the elders that they were shepherds to feed the church of God. Singular. Ephesians 5 and 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." Singular. The church of Christ is the body of Christ. And 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 says there is one body. That means there's one church. Singular. Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body. And we could go on and on and on. But the point is, the New Testament clearly states the fact that there is one church. And in the New Testament, that church was required to teach the same thing. All congregations of the Lord's church had to teach the same thing and practice the same thing. But when you look around at the religious world today, is that what you find? One church, all teaching the same thing, practicing the same thing? Not even close. There are hundreds of churches, thousands of churches, and they're all teaching different kinds of doctrines. And through the years, as different churches have popped up and new teachings have started, still the Bible has said the same thing, that there is one church and it should be teaching the same thing. I'm kind of starting a series tonight. I'm not going to be doing it every week, but every so often over the next several months, I'm going to be doing part of this series. And the series is going to be entitled, "The Lord's Church is Different." Because it is. The Lord's church is different. The church of Christ is not like the churches started by men. And we're going to be talking about some things like why we don't use instruments of music in our worship service. We're going to talk about the leadership of the church. Why don't we have a pope? Why don't we have a national committee? We're going to talk about why it is that the saying that you sometimes hear, "Choose the church of your choice," why that's not a good idea and can cost you your soul. The Lord's church is different. And we want to talk about that. Tonight, the title of the sermon is, "What Should We Call the Preacher?" Now, be nice. I know what you're thinking here. Be nice. You know, I heard a story about a family. They were going to have the preacher over for dinner. And they had a couple of little kids. And so they came to services that morning. And the preacher was talking to the little boy. And he said, I understand. I'm coming home to eat with your family today. And the little boy said, yes. And he said, well, what are we having to eat? And the little boy said, buzzard. And the preacher was stunned and said, buzzard? We're having buzzard to eat? And he said, yes. And he said, how do you know that? He said, well, I heard my mama in the kitchen today telling my daddy, I guess we're having the old buzzard for dinner today. Well, we ate with Ken and Cassie today, so you can ask them if they had buzzard. And I want to know what they said. But you know, seriously, if a person comes out of denominationalism and obeys the gospel of Christ, one of the things they're going to notice that is different is with reference to the preacher. They're going to notice in the Church of Christ that we don't call the preacher by a religious title. We don't call the preacher reverend. We don't call him pastor. He's going to learn that in the Lord's church it is different in this way. Now, why is that the case? Is it that we just want to be different, or does it not matter at all? I want us to begin in Matthew chapter 23. I want to read this, and then we're going to talk about it in more detail. Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse number 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments." When he's talking about the phylacteries, he's talking about these leather cases they would put on their heads, and they would put scriptures in them. And he said that they would wear large ones so that it would be noticeable and people would look at them and think how religious they were. He says they make large the borders of their garments, their religious clothing, their robes. They would have large borders on it to make themselves stand out and to be noticeable. Now pay special attention to this, starting in verse 6. He says, "And they love the uppermost rooms at the feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the greetings in the markets, and to be called Rabbi, Rabbi." Now, what was the motivation for wanting to be called Rabbi, Rabbi? It was pride. They were exalting themselves. But the Lord says, be not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren. He says, and call no man, listen to this, and call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. I want to talk about the question tonight, what should we call the preacher? I want to talk about religious titles. Number one, I want us to consider the word Father. Why do we not call the preacher Father? Because verse 9, Jesus said, and call no man father upon the earth. For one is your Father, which is in heaven. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? Jesus is very straightforward about this. This is amazing to me that some people in religious circles will do this because it is a direct violation of what Jesus specifically said, do not do. Now, just as a parenthetical note here, he's not talking about your daddy. It's okay to call your daddy father, because in Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now, Jesus taught us that parable, and he represented this man as calling his daddy father. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about the biological father. We're talking about it in a religious sense. Jesus said, call no man father. In the hereditary sense, Jesus frequently did that. In fact, John chapter 8 and verse 56, he said, your father, Abraham, rejoiced in my day. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. So that's not what he's talking about. We need to understand he is talking about using the title of father to exalt a man religiously. Jesus said that would be wrong. In fact, look at the context here. When he mentions that, it is right in the middle of talking about those who love the chief seats. They love to have the upper rooms. They love to broaden their phylacteries. They love when men see them and call them rabbi and call them master. It's in that context that he says, call no man father. Do not wear father as a religious title. But the Roman Catholic Church, with total disregard for this passage, does it anyway. And they call their priest father. And they walk around in the special clothing to distinguish themselves. And Jesus said this is a direct violation of what he's laying out in Matthew chapter 23. And these priests call themselves father and they wear the special robes and they'll pronounce a blessing upon you. Brethren, it is hard for me to imagine a human being taking a more arrogant position than that. For a man to call himself father, the Lord said there is one father. To call himself father and to pronounce a blessing or even to claim to be able to forgive your sins. The Bible says, for there is one Father which is in heaven. They've usurped the name of the Father. And they're pretending to do what only He can do. Mark chapter 2 and verse 10, the scribes correctly ask the question, who can forgive sins but God? Only God has that authority. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible warns us, now the Spirit speaks plainly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. Now this is what he says. These are some doctrines of devils. He says they will speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Now who is it that forbids their priest to marry? What religious group commands to stay away from certain meats on certain days? What group is it that wears these robes and calls their priest father? Several things that are in direct violation of what the Bible says. In fact, what the Holy Spirit defines as doctrines of devils. Call no man father upon the earth, for one is your father, even in heaven. And verse 8 says, ye are all brethren. So why don't we call our preacher father? Because Jesus said specifically that would be a sin. But what about this? Consider with me the term brother. The text says that we are all brethren. I want to tell you this, and we need to be careful because even the term brother could be misused if we're not careful. Now let me illustrate what I'm talking about here. A man walks into the church building and he brings a friend with him and he starts introducing some of the members. And he says, I want to introduce you to him. Here's Blair and here is Becky, his wife, and here is Larry and here is Pat and here is Brother Don. Now, what has he done? He has introduced all of these people as his, who are his brothers in Christ, but he just called them by his name. But when he gets to the preacher, he says, here is Brother Don. He has essentially made brother a religious title. All of the other people are their first name, but he has distinguished the preacher by calling him brother so-and-so. Now, is the preacher a brother in Christ? Certainly he is. But isn't it true that Blair and Larry and Pat, are they are also brothers in Christ? We need to be careful with this, because we could misuse the term brother and make it a religious title to exalt one above the other. That's wrong. Jesus said you were all brethren. Consider with me, number three, the title of reverend. If you're here tonight and you are a member of a denominational church, the chances are your preacher wears the title of reverend. And if you go to a wedding or a funeral and there's a denominational preacher presiding over it, you open the program, it's probably going to say Reverend so-and-so is presiding. But I want to tell you tonight, the Lord's church is different in this way. We don't call the preacher reverend. Let me tell you about this word reverend. The English word reverend, according to the World Book Dictionary, means worthy of great respect. It comes from the root word revere. That word means to love, to respect deeply, to honor greatly, to show reverence for. And the World Book Dictionary even gives an example of its usage this way. It gives an example sentence. It says, we revere sacred things. And that's right. We revere sacred things. Now keep that in mind. The word reverend only appears one time in your Bible, and it is used in reference to God, not a human being. In Psalm 111 and verse 9, the Bible says, holy and reverend is His name. The word there that is translated as reverend is from a Hebrew word. That Hebrew word carries with it the idea of to fear, to revere. Now, you know, it doesn't take a great deal of skill or learning to recognize that when we call a man by this title, like the Reverend John Baker, we are in violation of what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 23. The whole thought here is that it is wrong to call a man by a title that exalts him over another one religiously. And when a man is given a title that means he is one to be feared, he is one to be revered religiously, have we not done exactly the opposite of what Jesus said that we are to do? We have violated His will specifically. According to Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said, ye are all brethren. He that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself religiously, he shall be abased. Ladies and gentlemen, when a man wears the religious title reverend, this is a serious, serious matter. You know, as a preacher, I have to deal with that all the time, because people hear that you're a preacher and they start calling you a Reverend Blackwell. I applied for a debit card when we were living in Georgia, and the card came to the house or came to the office, and I opened it up and it said Reverend Don Blackwell. And I thought, why did they do that? And I had to send it back and get another one. Now, I don't always correct somebody on this immediately. If the situation's right, I will. But I know they don't mean any disrespect by it. In fact, I know they mean just the opposite. But I think if you're going to correct somebody on this, it's better to be able to sit down and show them what the Bible says rather than just throw it out, because you're going to confuse them. They're going to think this is odd because it's different. The Lord's church is different in this respect. Most religious groups do not heed what the Lord says in Matthew 23. So I'd like to have time to sit down and talk to somebody from according to what the Bible says. I was in a car dealership one day, and the car salesman kept calling me Reverend Blackwell, Reverend Blackwell, Reverend Blackwell. And I finally asked him to please stop. I said, I'm not a reverend. And he acted like that was the strangest thing he had ever heard. And he laughed at me and even kind of mocked me because of it. Now, why did he do that? Because he's used to the way the denominational world does it. Brethren, the Lord's church is different here. We're trying to do things the way the Lord said to do them. The Lord said we're not to assign a title that will exalt a person religiously. If we're going to call someone reverend, the Bible says holy and reverend is God's name. The word means to be feared religiously. The word means to be exalted, one who is holy. It's used of sacred things. That's not a title for a man to use. Fourthly, how about this? What about the title doctor? Would it be anything wrong with the preacher wearing the title doctor? You know, it is increasingly common to hear denominational preachers called Dr. So-and-so. Any problem with that? Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with holding the degree of a doctor. It's certainly not a sin to have a high degree. But you know, sometimes denominational preachers will have a religious degree. They will have a Doctor of Divinity degree, and therefore they will have the congregation call them Dr. So-and-so. And of course, in our modern day, one who holds the degree of doctor refers to one who has the highest level of training that he can get in that field. Here, being a Doctor of Divinity degree, a religious degree, he is saying, I've got the highest level of training I can in the field of religion. Brethren, let me tell you this. When a man places that in front of his name and wants to be called that by the members of his congregation and wants to have it written on the sign out in front of his building, do you really see much difference in that and what Jesus said? They love to be called rabbi, teacher, master. To be called rabbi, teacher, and master would be the equivalent of calling someone doctor today. He said they'd love the greetings in the marketplaces. They love the chief seats. They love the uppermost rooms. That is, when they went to a feast or a religious gathering, they'd like to sit at the head of the table so they could be recognized. They liked when people saw them out in public and would call them out and recognize them and say, Rabbi. They liked that type of public recognition. Jesus said, there's a problem here. Ye are all brethren. Don't be called master. For one is your master, even Christ. And all a master is an exalted teacher. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a doctor. But it can be misused as a religious title if we use it to set someone up above everybody else. Well, how about this? Number five, what about calling the preacher pastor? That is probably the most common term for a preacher. Oftentimes I'll tell someone I'm a preacher. They say, what do you do? I say, I'm a preacher. And from then on, they will call me pastor. And they will say, are you the pastor? No, I'm the preacher. They don't understand the difference. Because the denominational world uses the two terms interchangeably. But the word pastor actually occurs one time in the New Testament. It appears in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, where the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Now, there's a great deal of confusion in the world about this term pastor. Like I said, usually people, when they talk about the pastor, are talking about the preacher of a congregation. But I want you to listen to the definition of the word pastor. The Greek word that is translated pastor is the word poimen. The word poimen appears in the New Testament 18 times. 15 of those times it is translated as shepherd with a little s. Two of those times it's translated as shepherd with a capital S, and one time it is translated as pastor. Now, who are the pastors? The synonymous term is shepherd. Pastor and shepherd mean the same thing. The Greek word poimen is defined this way: the presiding officer, manager, director of any assembly. It is used of the overseers of the Christian assemblies. Now, the question we want to know is, who are the overseers of the Christian assemblies? Who are the shepherds? Who are the presiding officers of the Christian assemblies? And the answer is the elders. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, Paul calls together the elders of the church of Ephesus. He defines them as elders in verse 17. Then in verse 28, he told them, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you, the elders, overseers. Now, what is the definition of a pastor? It is an overseer, a presiding officer. It is an elder. It is a pastor. The elders are the shepherds. The elders are the overseers. And so the pastor of a church is not the preacher of the church, unless, of course, one of the elders happens to be the preacher. The pastor of the church is the elder. I should say the elders. They are the pastors. You know, when Richard McWilliams was here as the preacher, he was a pastor of the congregation. Why? Because he was one of the elders of the congregation. I'm not a pastor of the congregation. I am a gospel preacher. That's very different. Brethren, the Lord's church is different in this way. We don't call the preacher pastor because that's not an identifier given to him in the Scripture. And we want to call scriptural things by scriptural names. Okay, what should we call the preacher? I want to notice some scriptural names very quickly. What should we call the preacher? Just like anything else we want to know, we have got to go to the Bible for the answer to the question. Because if we go to any other source, we're going to have the wrong answer. And friends, that is one of the reasons that the Lord's Church, that the Church of Christ is different, because we only use the Bible as our source of authority. So what should we call the preacher? According to the New Testament, preachers are called evangelists. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul told the young gospel preacher named Timothy, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist." It would be proper to call the preacher an evangelist. Preachers are called ministers in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6 says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." Now the word minister simply means servant. I think sometimes we've got to be careful with the term minister, because we could use that as a title to exalt someone. The term minister means a servant, one who is working in the service of evangelism. The term preacher is a proper term for the preacher. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 says, "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they should be sent?" Now, in this sense, we all ought to be preachers. Every member of the Lord's church ought to be a preacher. Now, we understand that women are not to be speaking publicly in a sense in which they're usurping authority over the man, but they still have to obey the Great Commission. They still ought to be teaching. All of us should be preachers in the sense that we should be carrying the gospel message to other people. Folks, all of this goes back to one point, and that is, we have got to have authority for everything we do in religion. Colossians 3:17, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." That is by the authority of God. What should we call the preacher? We've got to look at the Bible. We've got to see what was the preacher called in the Bible. And I challenge you tonight to look around at the denominational world, because they're not doing that. If they were doing that, if they were going to the Bible to find authority for everything that they were doing, they would not exist. You know how I know that? Because when I read in the Bible, there's only one church. I don't read about denominations. In the Bible, there was only one church the Lord promised. There's only one church the Lord purchased. There's only one church the Lord possesses. And Ephesians 1:22 says that God put all things under Christ's feet and gave Him to be the head over the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. It is impossible to be in Christ without being in His church, without being a part of His body, which is the Church of Christ. And I want to tell you that if you're here tonight and you're part of a denomination, that you're lost. I'm not saying that to be ugly. I'm not saying that to offend you in any way. I'm saying that because when I read in the Bible, there was only one church. And all of the saved, the Lord added to that institution. And so if I'm going to be saved today, it's got to be the same way they were then. And that is by being added to that one institution that Jesus purchased with His blood.